Hello, my friends. Katie Day with the Move Me to Texas team here with another episode of the Real Advice Podcast. I am excited to dig in with this week's guest here on the show. He is a realtor and team leader of a very large team who I was going to say slowly taking over like LA and Antelope Valley and like California, but I feel like I need to say very quickly taking over California as a whole. And I think Arizona as well. With an expansion team. So just absolutely crushing right now in a very interesting market. So I'm really excited to dig in with my friend, Sunny Narang. What's going on, man? How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am really pumped to dig in. So for those that may not know you, Sunny, how did you get into real estate?
So I got into real estate about 8 years ago. I was actually an Uber driver and two guys in the back seat, they're like, yeah, we just made $50,000. I'm like, what do you guys do? And they're like, hey, we're realtors. I'm like, I'm getting into real estate. I'm stopping this today. So I applied for my test, took my classes, and the rest is history.
How did you stop driving Uber, or were you still driving Uber while you were like starting out in real estate?
I drove Uber for about 6 months after I got my license because I still had to pay the bills and pay for rent and stuff. But
yeah.
I would drive from 10 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning, shower, go to the gym, and then back to the office.
I love that grind that, you know, most people probably wouldn't do. I'm not sure when you were sleeping, but, you know, I feel like people always say like that they're all in, but then like don't actually do the things that they need to do to be all in. So I love that, you know, putting it first and making it a full-time job. So when you got into real estate in the beginning, were you on a team? Were you on your own? Like what was your intro in?
Yeah. So I started on a pretty big team in Burbank. We had about 20 agents. And my first year I had sold 16 homes. They asked me if I wanted to be the sales manager and I was 24 at the time. And I'm like, sure, what does that even mean? And like, you know, just kind of do some trainings, do some leadership. And I was like, oh, this is great. So I did that. We grew to 50 agents. I think that year we sold 200 properties. So it was a great fit for me.
Nice. Nice. And so how did that then translate to you branching out and starting your own team?
Yeah. So I was on that team for 6 years and I had sold about 500 properties and I felt like I wanted to do it on my own. So I took my assistant with me and then the next day, all my friends were like, we're coming too. So I started a small team. There was about 5 of us. We did about 100 transactions that year. The next year, we really started to grow. So we got to 20 agents, and now we have about 150.
Well, as I was saying, I was like, what year did you start your team? And then, where you said 150 agents today?
Yeah. So we started the team September 2021. We ended 2022 with 60 agents. And now we have 3 expansion teams totaling about 150 agents altogether.
That's wild. I love to see it. I feel like everyone you talk to that's like, oh, I might be interested in potentially joining the brokerage or I might be interested in whatever. It's like, then it becomes like, well, no, we're just going to join Rise. We're going to join your group. Like, let's go. And I love to see, you know, how much you're pouring back into, you know, y'all's expansion teams and things like that. So, you know, obviously the title of the podcast is Real Advice, right? And so, you know, looking back on kind of your journey, going all the way back to the beginning, right? What advice would you give to a brand new agent today? If they just got their license, they're looking to hang it with a brokerage, like what should they look for? What should they be doing? Cause it sounds like you just like went in all in, you know, both feet kind of thing.
I would highly recommend joining a team, be around people that are going to help you grow, teach you the ropes, and provide some leads. I think at bats is really important right now. And it expedites your whole entire process. Even if you take a smaller cut, I wouldn't worry about that right away. It's more important to do deals, learn the process. So that way you have the experience, down the line to get a bigger cut.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and so, you know, I hear that a lot as advice for new agents. And I think it is good advice because, you know, if for the amount of training and opportunities and, you know, just like masterminding and role play and stuff that teams do, it's so much more significant than what brokerages do, right? Like, you know, we've both been at different brokerages and it's like, you know, the conversations then are just very, you know, like, oh yeah, you guys like could do this or you should do this, or maybe you try this. And like at teams, it's like, do A, B, C, D, and it works, right? How would you find a team, right? Like what would be the things that you would do to like, you know, really dig deeper to make sure that you're finding a good team? Because everyone says that they're great. Everyone says that they, you know, have opportunity. How would you dig deeper?
So obviously everyone's been posting on social media recently. So I would check Instagram and see who the big teams are, see what their culture's like. I would then check Zillow to see what their sales are. But most importantly, I would probably call a couple agents on that team to really get the inside scoop to see, do they like the team? Do they get leads? How is their relationship with the team leader? Because they're going to tell you the truth if they're not happy. And sometimes you won't see that from the outside.
Yeah. I always advise agents, you know, that I want them to come to one of our team meetings or one of our trainings, right? But then it's like, you know, you should be going into other things with other brokerages, because like a lot of places like aren't open to you coming to something, you know, like if they're like, oh, Sunday, like, can we come to a team meeting? You'd be like, no, like that's a little bit of a red flag to me. So
that's a huge red flag. I mean, we open our playbook. We advise them to come to our team trainings. You know, you have to see what the culture is like. But you should check out your options. You shouldn't just check out one place and make a decision.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So, you know, you were into management. So I think that that's a pretty good segue to like understand kind of how to run a business to then start your own team. Yeah. But for agents, you know, I feel like a lot of times the building of the team comes from necessity, right? Like you're just at the point where you're like, okay, I'm selling a ton of homes. I no longer have time. So I'm like going to hire a buyer's agent and assistant. Like now I have a team. What advice do you give to agents when they're looking to kind of leverage themselves? Like, is it a team? Is it an assistant? Is it a TC? Like what do you think is the best way to kind of leverage your time so that you can better serve your clients?
It really depends on their goals, but I think agents go wrong when they want to start a team to make more money. That isn't the real reason to start a team. I think the real reason is to help others grow and develop agents. Because if that's not the priority, it doesn't really work. But I started with a show-in partner, and then I got a VA. She was my TC slash assistant slash she did everything for me from follow-up to the whole process. And then I started to bring on some buyer's agents. So just kind of grew from there. I don't really believe in the buyer agent model. I believe everyone should be a listing agent and a buyer agent, but everyone's good at different things. So you got to figure out what your skill set is. But I think starting with a showing partner first is the best way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good way to be able to leverage your time, but still, you know, keep a hand in the transaction as you have agents that are kind of learning the business a little bit more. You know, I think that we have so many people that are getting into the business even still now, that it definitely helps to see a lot of properties and help write contracts and kind of do that type of thing. Sure. You just said, like, you know, you believe that agents should on teams be able to work both sides of a transaction, you know, not just a buyer's agent. Is that the setup for y'all's group?
Yeah, so we don't have any listing specialists or buyer specialists. We just have agents. When I started, I was specifically a buyer's agent, and it was kind of degrading to me, but I learned the buyer's side so well. But in hindsight, I wish I could do both sides. I'd be a lot further along the process.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, you know, you say a lot further along, but before we hopped on, how many listings have you signed in the last like month?
So I jumped back into production on my birthday, which was the 5th of April, and I've signed 12 listings since then.
Yeah. So I don't know, man, if you say you'd be further along, like maybe you would have signed like 22 instead of 12, you know, one a day. But you're crushing. I love it. It's interesting. So how long were you out of production? Like you just said that you got back into production.
Yeah. I mean, I've been out for almost 2 years, but I've been going to all these events and seeing the changes coming up, and I wanted to get back in the trenches with my team to kind of see what objections they were going through, how to overcome them. So I get the listing and I basically pass it to someone on my team and they handle the transaction, but that way I can work it with them and show them from start to finish how to close the transaction.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think as I've heard at many of the same events that we've been at, you know, a lot of the team leaders, you know, are doing that. I think, you know, it's especially for many that have been in the business for many years, you know, we are getting so many different objections now that we might not have been getting previously. And so being able to hear them firsthand and kind of work through them firsthand and have conversations with clients and actually hear firsthand what objections are, You know, I know for me over the past few months, basically, well, since March, right? You know, some of the objections I've been getting haven't necessarily been objections. It's just like curiosity, right? And okay. So I think sometimes as agents, we like, you know, if someone has a question, we hop right in to tell them why they're wrong. And here's all the things why, you know, commissions have always been negotiable and this and that. And, da, 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 and you're, they're like, well, no, I just wanted to make sure that like we were still good for, you know, what's in the agreement we've already signed. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know. So hearing that stuff firsthand, I think is really helpful to be able to better train your team.
Yeah. And I've only been in the game for 8 years, but every quarter something new comes up that you have to figure out a different way to approach it. So it's good to be back. Hopefully it's only this year.
Well, hey, I mean, based on the trajectory that you're on as far as listings right now, you might be able to make enough to like just retire after this year, you know? So just keep crushing those listings.
Thank you.
All right. So you guys are expanding, right? So tell me a little bit about kind of what that's looked like so far. You know, I know obviously based in California, but like y'all are expanding to other states too, right?
Yeah, that's a goal. So we were at KW before, and we felt that it was hard to expand with that brokerage. That's why we looked into eXp and Real. Eventually, obviously, decided upon Real. But our goal is to open up in every major state. I mean, every major city. We just want to start slowly and make sure that all the systems and setup is correct before we go big.
Yeah. What do you feel like are some of the things that are baseline things to do before starting expansion teams?
I think it really comes down to finding the right leader that's going to run that office, because, you know, the agents have to like them. They have to trust them. They have to want to be around them. That's really important. And then we have to find out the value add. I think right now the biggest value add to being on a team is leads, but some lead sources work really well here. They might be different in different areas. So we have to figure out and do a bunch of research and see what's working.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I know you guys, you've mentioned leads, and obviously that's, you know, you've got to have opportunity, right? And so that's huge, especially going into a new market. You know, like for you, I'm sure you guys have a huge database, right, of old leads and just different things like that. So like in the market where you've been transacting for 8+ years, you know, you have a lot of opportunity for agents, whether it be a pond or a new opportunity or whatever. You know, I feel like you guys also do a ton of training, right? And you do a ton of, you know, different like masterminding and things like that. And so what are some of the things that y'all do like on a regular basis to ensure that your agents are up to speed with what's happening, you know, and objections and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, training is really big right now. So we do 4 trainings a week. We do a Monday team meeting. We talk about wins, losses, off markets. And we do, you know, like script practice. Tuesday mornings, we do a role play. Wednesday mornings, we do a role play. Tuesday and Thursday evenings, we do a call night. Thursdays, we do a specific training like open house training or listing presentations. And the goal is to get as much info to our agents so they're prepared for when these things come up.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a lot of training each week. Do you guys do that in person or via Zoom or a combination, or what does that look like?
It's actually really cool. So we have a movie theater in the mall that our office is in. So we rent out the movie theater Mondays and Thursdays. Everyone comes in and we do our trainings there.
It's wild that you say that, because I saw a video of like one of the trainings and it looked like Chris was like talking in a movie theater, and I was like, did they rent out a movie theater specifically for like a listing presentation training? I was like, that's wild. Cause we'll do it for like, you know, virtual events or things like that. But that's fun. I like it.
So we had a smaller space downstairs and we were like, you know what, let's just go ask them if we can do our trainings in the movie theater. Like the worst they can say is no. And we asked them, they're like, yeah, it's $1,000 a day. We're like, we're not doing that. They later sent us an email saying, hey, actually $200 a day. It's all you. So like, yeah, we're definitely coming back here.
Well, and I would assume that like, you're probably doing it off times for movies, especially if it's a weekday, you know? So
yeah, early in the
it's morning. A win-win for them. So I love that. But yeah, I definitely saw that video and I was like, I think that is a movie theater. So very, very fun. I like that. All right. As far as like professional development, type stuff. What are things that you're like listening to right now or watching or like following on Instagram, reading? Like what do you kind of focus in on to keep you sharp?
Yeah, I mean, I try to attend most of the Tom Ferry events. I've been coaching with them for 6 years now. I watch a lot of the videos through the Real Academy. But I'm a big podcast guy. I've been reading a lot of books recently. That wasn't really me early in my career. But I don't want to make mistakes that other people made. So by watching these videos, you can kind of offset that. But yeah, the Tom Ferry system has been awesome for us.
Well, and I love Tom too, because he puts so much stuff out for free on YouTube. So if you're not part of the coaching community, which I think, you know, there's such a wealth of knowledge, right, in the different Facebook groups and at the different masterminds and stuff. But like, just on YouTube, I mean, I think they put out a video almost every single day, you know, so it's like you can get a little nugget of info or a long webinar. And so the best part about that is like, it's absolutely free, but there's just so much info that you can learn and digest over there.
Yeah, there was a mailer that they talked about at the last event, and we sent out 350 of the mailers, and we took a $1 million listing at 6% from those mailers. So, I mean, they just give so much information, but the agents that apply that information are the ones that are going to do well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? Like, all of the info is out there, so it's a matter of who's going to implement or not. And that's something I've been talking a lot about with, like, my team. Because, you know, we're a part of Tom Ferry Coaching. We do a lot of different things with masterminds and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, all of these ideas are great, but like, you need to be the person that's taking the action on them, not just the one that's talking about how great these ideas were. What was the mailer that y'all sent out?
It was a ZMA where you circle the estimate and you say, hey, do you want to know what your home is worth? Give us a call. And we got a call, and you actually came into our office that day, signed with us, and we're going on the market in 2 weeks.
That's awesome. Well, you should probably send out more mailers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We got the
one back there actually working right now.
Yeah. It's interesting. And again, like, just because there are so many different things that people do, and it's like just picking the thing and taking action on it. That's the move. It's not like, well, what color font does it need to be, or what color this? Like, you can tweak and adjust as you go.
You just gotta do it. Once it works, you got to keep going with that one.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of lead gen, what does lead gen look like for y'all as far as for the team? You know, obviously you've expanded to other areas and markets, so like it may not be the same across all 100 plus agents, but like for your core kind of office, what does that look like as far as different lead sources?
Yeah, so obviously we're big on Zillow. We just got transitioned into Zillow Flex. So we have a Flex team for all three accounts. So Zillow's our bread and butter, but we have an ISA team that makes calls. We started sending these mailers out. We're big on social media. We try to get our agents to do as many open houses as they can. And that's kind of our book of business. I like my agents to do at least three things, whether it's social media, open houses, Zillow. You got to pick three of those things and be good at those to be successful, in my opinion.
For sure. I think that open houses are also going to be a lot more prevalent, especially come July, you know, and I think that it'll be interesting to navigate having buyer reps and things like that. And I know, you know, some of the Zillow teams have had to have them, you know, and stuff like that. But like, it's one of those things that it's like, I think that open houses will just be like where, you know, instead of trying to call a listing agent to see a house and then get told they have to sign something, like they'll just go to open houses. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity for agents and buyers agents especially, right, to get a lot of business from them. So
yeah,
only time will tell.
I think open houses are the easiest way to get a quick sale. If you need a quick commission check, that'd be the fastest way to get one.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's where it's way further down the funnel than the alternatives, generally speaking. Awesome. All right. I have one more question for you, and it's one that I hit everyone with, so hopefully it won't stump you.
Okay.
You're like, I'm nervous. Okay. It is, if it were your last meal on earth, what would you be eating?
That's easy. Peruvian ceviche, my favorite dish in the world.
Have you been to Peru, or is it like a specific restaurant that you go to that you gotta?
I have not been to Peru, but where I'm from in Santa Barbara, they have a restaurant called Los Arroyos that makes the best Peruvian ceviche I've ever had in my life.
That's amazing. Do you eat it plain or with like plantain chips or?
Plantain chips. You got to go authentic.
Oh yeah. No, that's the best part. I love plantains. So like anytime that they bring it out with like tortilla chips, I'm like, this is trash. So I feel you there. Sunny, I appreciate you hopping on today and sharing. If someone does not already follow you on social, what's the best platform for them to connect with you?
So Money Sunny is my Instagram handle. That's basically all I use right now, but I'm pretty active on there. I manage my own account and I'd love to connect with you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing and thank you for your time. And hopefully I will see you sometime soon.
Thanks, Katie. I'll see you soon. Thanks for having me.